At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Oh, dude. I feel hungover again. We got the worst performance I've ever seen by a defense on that last Monday Night Football game. We're sitting here on a Tuesday shooting this thing, and I was going to talk about all the other NFL games from the week, but it's not even worth it to me. I'm not even thinking about the rest of the league right now. I'm thinking about my Bengals, dude. I'm thinking all about what went wrong in that game against Washington. Ironically, I was at the Bills game. Buffalo played Jacksonville and beat the shit out of them, and I'm sitting here. You know, the Bills game started at 7:30 Eastern, and the Bengals game started at 8:15 Eastern. So there's, you know, a bit of a buffer. The Bills game was already decided by the time that the Cincinnati Bengals kicked off against the Washington Commanders. So I was watching it on my phone. I was watching the game. And first possession looks good on offense because the Bengals got the ball first. First possession for Washington didn't look good. And I was like, well, you know, we're the better team. We're going to prevail in this. We have to get the season back on track. Statistically, I've heard this so much on X. Statistically, you are, as an NFL team in the Super Bowl era, 2.4% likely to make the playoffs if you start out 0-3. I think the last team to do it were the Texans in 2018. And I'm just sitting here wondering why a team that put up the offensive performance that Cincinnati did last night loses a football game. I'm wondering why in week three the defense is still missing tackles, looking like a college team playing in the pros. The Jaguars looked like a college team against the Buffalo Bills last night. They were dropping passes. They were not making throws. They weren't hitting throws. I'm literally speechless at that Bengals performance, dude. Literally speechless. Teams with 4+ touchdowns, 0 punts, and 0 turnovers in a game were 26-0 in the Super Bowl era heading into today or yesterday. They are now 26-1 after that Bengals loss. It was the first game since 1940 with 0 turnovers, 0 punts. I think that's all the metrics. And I'm sitting here as this game's rolling down to the wire, thinking, these boys have got to get a stop. This is it. They've got to get a stop. This is it. Nope. Third down conversion. Fourth down conversion. All culminating in that play where Anaramo dialed up a zero blitz. And I think it was either 22 or 24 for Cincinnati that came off the edge and hit Jaden Daniels as he let the one of the best throws I've seen all year. Couldn't have handed the ball better to Terry McLaurin in the back of the end zone to put the nail in the coffin for the game. I'm seeing a lot of overreactions on Twitter. One of them being that Burrow didn't do what he had to do. And their argument with that is, well, if it was Tom Brady, one of Tom Brady's Super Bowl teams early on in his career with New England was 31st in the league in defense, and he still led him to the Super Bowl. He still found a way to win. Dude, I get it, but you got to look at the film. And that's exactly what we're going to do here. We're going to take a look at the film because I don't think that this is a Lou Anaramo problem. It might be to some extent. I don't think this is an offense problem. I think this is a personnel problem for Cincinnati on defense. You got a Pro Bowl safety in Jesse Bates. You let him walk because you won't pay him. You've got one of the better defensive tackles, interior D linemen in the league. Most underrated, I'd argue, in DJ Reader. You let him walk because he wants $12 million a year. But you keep the Cincinnati kid, Sam Hubbard, on the squad for $10 million bucks a year, and we're about to dive in. Actually, this first play, these first couple of plays, take a look at this. Yeah, I'm going to run that one more time. This first clip here. This is the first drive of the game. Mind you, all this film's in chronological order. We got to just look at the nitty-gritty here. Because this is bad. So look here, before I run the clip, look at the right edge. I want y'all to look at 94, the defensive end on the right side here. I'm running it one more time. Look at this. Look at 94. Look at the defensive end on the right side. I get it. Jaden Daniels is a threat to pull that ball, maybe. But if he pulls it, he's going to the other side. So I'm going to run this one more time. You have no reason to not crash down on that and make the play at the line of scrimmage. And to add insult to injury, here's the literal next rep. This is the next rep in the game. Look at 94 again. Got a chance to make a play, and run out one more time. 94 on the right side. Look at him. This guy, bang, right there. And he gets down the field for 15. That was all night. That was all night. And we're paying that guy $10 million a year. We're paying Sam Hubbard $10 million a year. The Cincinnati kid. You know, he made that freaking play against Baltimore in the playoffs years ago during the Super Bowl run, and I'm pretty sure that allowed him to eat for the rest of his career. At least you think. What are we doing? Paying guys like that. And it all starts with the player personnel, folks. Who's in charge of player personnel? Well, you'd think Mike Brown, the owner, who's also technically the GM, who hasn't built a business outside of football at all, was handed the team down due to generational success, and basically his grandfather had a hand in creating the modern game as we know it today. doesn't have any assets outside of football, and he's old as dirt, Mike Brown. And so he hands off the personnel decisions to a guy named Duke Tobin, who never really played in the NFL. He spent most of his time in the AFL, arena football. And a guy named Troy Blackburn, who is ironically the husband of one of Mike Brown's daughters, who's also in the front office, and all her sisters. These are the folks making the personnel decisions for the Cincinnati Bengals. These are the people making the personnel decisions for the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's keep looking at the defensive performance from Monday Night Football against the Commanders here. Here's a third clip that I picked here. Look at this is 94 again. Look, loses contain. You're playing Jaden Daniels. I'm going to run it again. Look at 94. This is all on one series. This is the first series of the night from this game. This is the first series of the night from the Bengals Commanders game. Look at 94 for the third play on this drive. Look at him. You keep contain, and then you lose it. And there he goes. That is the rookie with the most rushing yards in Commanders Redskins history. And you're going to say, oh, well, I'm gonna try to get inside and make this play. No, you won't. No, dude. Next play. Yeah. So that wasn't 94. I'm done with Sam Hubbard for now. Okay, run it one more time. So the deal with this play is that 29's got the edge. Look, shoots in there. So we're missing tackles. We're not playing mean. We're not playing aggressive. We're not buzzing to the football. And then we're also blowing assignments. 29 is supposed to set the edge there. He's trying to scream inside when there's nobody else outside. That's Cam Taylor-Britt, who made a hell of a play last week. And talked some shit before this game, too. And the damn Commander's social media team got a hold of it after they beat our ass. They said, not bad for a college offense. Because that's what Cam Taylor-Britt said before the game this week. You don't talk shit unless you get a dub. And we don't have any dubs. Okay? Cam Taylor-Britt, let's run this play one more time. Your responsibility, you clearly see run. Your responsibility is to set that edge. But no, I'm going to go inside it. I'm going to make a play. Are you? It's a touchdown. That was all on the first drive of the game. All those miscues. I can't imagine what the Bengals' defensive meetings are looking like today, because they're probably getting it a lot worse than I'm giving it. At least I hope. I woke up this morning with that thought in my head, oh, these guys are going to go to meetings today and get ripped, and it's all going to be better. But I don't know at this point. I don't know if it's going to get any better, because here's the thing. Here's why it's a torturous experience being a Bengals fan for all of eternity. Okay. This is a ownership family, not group, family, that is clearly a complacent bunch of folks. As long as the merchandise sales come in, as long as we get some ticket sales, as long as we just stay afloat, which is pretty easy in the NFL if you think about it. I don't care if you're the worst team in the league. You're probably still making money as an owner. Okay, we're gonna keep this thing just right at baseline. We're gonna keep this thing right around where we need it to be so that we're okay. What about the city of Cincinnati? What about all these football-loving, hard-working people that spend their hard-earned dollars on season tickets, on single-game tickets, fuck it, even merch. And Mike Brown ain't worried about a damn thing because he knows he's set. He's an old bastard. He knows he's set. He's the only guy in owner meetings that votes against literally everything that's not status quo. 31-1 is what voting looks like in the National Football League. Who's the one vote? Mike Brown. And it's clear he doesn't even do anything day to day. He just shows up. The old bastard. Hasn't built a damn thing outside of this team in his life. And he hadn't even built this team. He's kept it pretty much the same way for our entire life.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
I'm worried that 2021 Super Bowl season where we lost in the Super Bowl is going to be the highlight of my Bengals fanhood for the rest of my life. I'm really worried. And the worst part about that is that Joe Burrow is one of the best quarterback talents I've seen in my whole life. And he's not to blame for this game. He's going to take all the heat. He's going to be the scapegoat. He needs to play better. He needs to this. He needs that. He threw for 3 touchdowns last night. No picks. Close to 300 yards. The offense was ripping off 6 to 8 yards a play. And I say it all the time. The Bengals got so lucky having that number one pick in that 2020 draft. They got so lucky. So lucky. And I'm not even going to complain about him letting Joe Mixon walk, even though I should. Joe Mixon is one of my favorite players to ever put on a Bengals uniform. I'm not going to complain about that because guess what? We were ripping off 6 to 8 yards on the ground almost every rep. Offense wasn't a problem. All of this film I'm showing y'all is from our defense. I'm not interested in seeing the offense film because I know what I saw, and that was a beautiful performance by the offense. It's all about preserving the status quo in Cincinnati. 6 to 8 wins. Let's keep the revenue flowing. Let's rely on inflation so we can keep hiking ticket prices, keep charging $150 for a jersey, maybe $200. Revenue's good. You know what I mean? These fans, I'm sure Mike Brown's sitting in his office. These fans, these poor bastards, they're going to keep coming back and I'm going to keep making money. You got guys running. The Bengals are the nastiest, worst example of nepotism that you'll ever see in modern pro football. All of Mike Brown's daughters have high positions in the front office. The husband of one of Mike Brown's daughters is making personnel decisions. They won't pay anybody. That's Cincinnati sports in general. People are calling for Zach Taylor's head. I don't think it's the coaches. The coaches are going to be the scapegoats constantly. I don't really see scheme as being a problem. I see it as fundamentals. That includes aggression. That includes having a nose for the ball. That includes having the fucking instincts as a pro football player to make a play. But also that last rep we just saw on film, it's clear we didn't play assignment football either, and we're going to get farther into that. Let's look at the next rep here. And I can't even remember. Oh, I think this is a missed tackle by 97 here. Look at that. Take a look at 97. We're there. Bang. Nope. Bumbling around. And he's sitting there before the snap. Yeah, I got it. Oh. Bad fucking tackling. It's week three. Okay. We talked about this on the show week one. I said, oh, it's week one. These guys haven't tackled live for months. They're going to get it together. Week three, we do shit like that. What's the next rep? This is the bomb to McLaurin, I think. All right, so look at the safety on the Bengals logo here. He's got inside leverage. The corner's got outside leverage. The corner's doing his job. Look at the safety. Hesitates. He's nowhere to be found. Run it one more time. So this safety on the Bengals logo is getting hung up on this dig route coming from the receiver on the right side on the 40. Look, he sees that dig coming in. Oh, hesitates, too late. Your number one priority as a safety is to make sure no deep balls get home. That's why, as a safety, your first step is always back. Linebackers' first step are always forward because you run first. Safety, you're pass first. Corner, you're pass first. And the corner, which I think was Cam Taylor-Britt, actually did his job. Run it one more time. Yeah. So it's Cam Taylor, you know, you got the motion in, so now Cam Taylor-Britt's got outside leverage on McLaurin. He's got the outside leverage. He's doing his job. 22, Geno Stone, I believe, who came in from Baltimore, doesn't do his job. He's got inside leverage. Your first priority as a safety is to play the fucking deep ball, baby. And the defense is set up so that you got help on the outside with McLaurin. Cam Taylor-Britt's there. He did his job. He got beat. It's obviously soft coverage, which we played all night and got ripped all night in soft coverage. Run it one more time. Safety. 22. Inside leverage. Hesitates for a second on that dig, and he's already gone. That's Terry fucking McLaurin, dude. Who's a hell of a playmaker. He's a hell of a playmaker. This was all, I believe, I couldn't even, number one, I didn't have time because we had to do the shoot. But number two, I couldn't even make it through all the film. I'm gonna, but I'm sure I'll probably feel the same because guess what? We didn't force a fucking punt all night. It's assignment football, man. Assignment football, fundamental football. We got neither. And guess what? Both of those, this is the most frustrating part about the Bengals' defensive performance, is that the two problems were we're not tackling, which is a fundamental thing, and we're not following our assignment. Both of those things are completely in your control as a player. They are completely in your control. Your assignment, your ability to follow your assignment comes from your preparation all week. Number one, studying the playbook. Number two, installing it out on the field. And number three, focusing so heavy on the install that when it's game time and it's time to execute, you're there and you're able to just let go of all of it and play football. So maybe it is Lou Anarumo's issue that the defense isn't prepared in regards to their assignments. It's probably more of a position coach thing, but guess what? It's not just one position group that's missing the assignments. It's all the position groups. It's all the position groups. And so we've seen it from the defensive line so far in our film study. We've seen it from the DBs so far in our film study. Here's the play right after the McLaurin bomb where a linebacker misses an assignment. Run it one more time. Here's you see 58? You see 58? Take a look one more time. This is a double angle clip. That's the wide angle. There's a bit of a pause. Look at 58 on the edge. I thought he was a linebacker. Maybe he's a defensive end. We're running one more time. 58's down lineman. Look at 58 on the right side. Right over the didn't even know. Didn't even know that that was there. You're playing the edge, brother. You're playing the edge. And you got a quarterback. Look at 58 right here over top of the tight end. Didn't even know it was there until he was already in. You're supposed to be playing the edge. It's Jaden fucking Daniels. It's not like it's Aaron Rodgers or, God forbid, Peyton Manning. It's Jaden Daniels. And we don't even think about the possibility of him maybe pulling it and heading to the outside. We just crash in mindlessly on the run all of a sudden. We're not even on the 1 yard line. We're on like the 4 or 5. We're running one more time, dude. Look at this. Look at the right end. Has no idea until he's already there. Has no idea. Here it is from the box angle. Just sit down. And the play's made. I get it. You just gave up a big play and it's first and goal. But golly, put your damn cleats in the ground and play fucking football. Play ball, man. Damn. I mean, it's just, that's all the film I can handle for now. And the thing is, man, is like, they didn't look bad against Kansas City. That defense did not look bad against Kansas City. Everybody had hope after the Kansas City game. Everybody had hope after the Kansas City game, and rightfully so. But that's being a Bengals fan. Prop you up, prop you up, prop you up, even if it's for a week. It's still hope. And then make you wonder why you ever hoped. It. Being a Cincinnati Bengals fan is by far the most abusive relationship I've ever been in. It's not even close. Because there have been years where they've been perpetually bad. And you just don't even feel a desire to turn on the TV to watch. I would almost rather have that than have what we're having right now and have what we've had in the past, all the way back to the 2015 wild card game where we were up with maybe a minute left and we fumble and then we have two egregious penalties and lose. I have not felt this feeling of desperation, this much of a feeling of desperation or hopelessness since, as a Bengals fan, since that 2015 wild card game. Got some tweets. Defense got booed as they came off the field last night. Rightfully so. The fans are pissed. I don't know the last defense that allowed a touchdown to an offensive lineman 2 games in a row. Do y'all know? Do y'all have any idea? Because I don't. Here's a tweet from Brandon Seho. I love the Bengals, but the season is over. There's only been 6 teams that have made the playoffs after starting 0-3 since 1979. This is one of the worst losses in franchise history, considering it statistically ends a promising season. Hope I'm wrong. Hooday. I agree. This is one of the worst losses in franchise history. That's why we're dedicating a whole episode to it, to rant about it. Because I care about this fucking organization. I care about this city. This city deserves a team that produces, especially with who we've got at quarterback, especially with one of the more special wide receiver ones in modern football. I truly believe that. One of the best wide receiver twos in modern football in T. Higgins. Andre Yesovas had a hell of a game last night. Scored a touchdown in what was technically garbage time, but made some big plays, made a couple beautiful toe taps, and I mean, I'm gonna play this clip. Look at this clip from Marvin Lewis here. This is what we need right now. And here's the thing. I saw a lot of comments on this. I'll play the clip and then we'll talk about it.
Listen to me. This is a long-ass season. This is a grind. And you can't give up the ball. You can't miss tackles. You can't step out of bounds. You can't have penalties. You can't field punts on the one-yard line. Some of you wonder why you don't play and start. Because you won't tackle on an interception. Because you don't know who to block. So you better make up your mind what you're going to do. It's your football team. Find a way to fix it. Reach down inside and be a fucking pro.
Find a way to make it happen. You're professional fucking football players, man. Find a way. Find a way. God, that gets me fired up, boy. God. And I saw a lot of comments on that video like, oh, you really want to perpetually lose in the playoffs in the first round? You really want Marvin Lewis back? All this stuff. It's like, at this point, dude, I don't know what Zach Taylor's saying to these guys. I don't think Zach Taylor's the type of personality to rip into these guys. I just don't see that in his personality. I see him as I don't know, man. Obviously everybody would. I'd love to be a fly on the wall for meetings, film study today. We're shooting this on a Tuesday, the day after the game. Because if I was able to be a fly on the wall for their film study today and the practices that ensue this week, that'll tell you whether this football team is going to respond or whether they're just going to lay down. You know, you're going to know what these guys are made. And here's the thing. We've got Andy Dalton and the Carolina Panthers next week. I got a text from my buddy that said, dude, and he's a Bengals fan too. You know, dude, I'm thinking about throwing a rack on the Bengals money line this week. There's no way they lose to go to 0-4. There's no way they lose to the Panthers. Dude, fucking A. We'll see. You know what I mean? We'll see. I think the best thing that could happen to this team is to beat the Panthers like the Bills beat the Jaguars this week. And I can't help but say that I was sitting there in Highmark Stadium watching the Bills just destroy the Jags, thinking, why can't this just be our guys? You know what I mean? There wasn't a shadow of a doubt for a solitary second in Highmark Stadium on Monday Night Football doubleheader last night that the Bills weren't going to beat the shit out of the Jags. It was evident from the first snap, the first rep of the game on the offense for Buffalo. James Cook runs a swing route, hits it for like 20 yards. The stadium explodes, and it was just over. It was literally over at that moment. And I'm sitting here thinking, I haven't felt that way for a solitary second this entire Bengals season so far. Why? Why is that? We have just as many tools, personnel-wise, at least on offense, as Buffalo's got. I'm sitting here in Buffalo right now. It's mind-boggling, okay? Sam Hubbard has the lowest pass rush grade, which is 44%, among all defensive linemen in the NFL. Zach Carter has a 0% pass rush win rate on 59 snaps. Jay Tufele, who I'm pretty sure is that number 97 that missed a tackle there on that first series, has a 2.5% pass rush win rate in 40 snaps. Dude. Look at this. Here are the Bengals' offensive line and defensive line draft picks in the 21 and 22 drafts. Jackson Carman, who we got rid of because he sucked ass in the preseason. Joseph Asai, who I'm pretty sure he's done all right. You know, he's missed. He was the guy that cost us the game on that late hit years ago, I believe, in the playoffs against the Chiefs. Maybe it was 2 years ago. Cam Sample, Tyler Shelvin, Deontay Smith, Trey Hill, Wyatt Hubert, who the fuck is that? Zach Carter, who is that? Cordell Volson, who I don't, dude. The Bengals, dude, like, we are terrible in the draft. It's like we drafted Joe Burrow and we just say, yep, it's over. We're good. We're set now. That's kind of the attitude of that fucking ownership family, the Browns, isn't it? It's good. You know, we got just enough to keep the fans satisfied a little bit coming back for more, don't we? There's nothing you can say, dude. There's nothing that you can say at all. Here's a fun one. These are the only 0-3 teams in the NFL. The Titans, the Jags, and the Bengals. Bengals head coach is Zach Taylor. Jags OC is Press Taylor, Zach's brother. Titans head coach is Brian Callahan, who is Zach's OC in Cincy from 19 to 24. I'm kind of regretting even reading that tweet because, look, I don't think Zach Taylor's not to blame. I don't think he is fully to blame, though. I think now that this team is where they're at, this early in the season, is Zach Taylor going to be the guy to be kind of that Marvin Lewis in that moment and chew these guys out and say, look, you got a choice. You got a choice. You guys are pros. Okay? It's your team. Figure it out. Because at the end of the day, the coach can't go out there and make tackles. The coach can't go out there and be aggressive for his players. He can't go out there and have a nose for the football for his players. Offense is fine. And that might be exactly why it's not a good thing that we have Zach Taylor as our head coach right now. Because he's obviously an offensive emphasis guy. You know, I had a head coach that was offensive emphasis. And that comes with its pros, that comes with its cons. One of the cons is that when offense is practicing on one side of the field and defense is practicing on the other, most of the time the head coach is going to hang out on the offensive side. An offensive head coach is going to hang out on the offensive side of the field during practice. My head coach was an air raid guy in college. He, we had the Heisman. It's not the Heisman Award in FCS, but we had the equivalent of that in our quarterback who won the award 1 year. But, you know, our defense was never great. And I always wonder if that's the case in other organizations, other programs, where you have an offensive-minded head coach and they're hanging out on the offensive side of the field during practice for the most part. I don't know. I really, I just don't know what to make of this because part of me believes that we're going to go to Charlotte, North Carolina, and beat the shit out of them. And then the other part of me thinks that this team's going to be demoralized, that they're not going to have the right resilience, and that they're going to lay another egg. And who knows if the Panthers, the way they played this week, can beat them or not. Jordan Battle, defensive snaps this season. Okay. Jordan Battle, who I guess is at the same position as Geno Stone, who was number 22, who missed that inside leverage assignment on Terry McLaurin for that big play early in the game. Jordan Battle ranked 12th of 104 safeties in Pro Football Focus run defense grading in 2023. Geno Stone ranked 104th last season in Baltimore. Here's how many reps Jordan Battle's gotten over 3 weeks. Week one, he got zero. Week two, he got one. Week three, he got zero. What are we looking at if we're the coaches? I guess the more we get into this, the more I'm starting to realize that everybody is at fault with where the Cincinnati Bengals organization is at right now. The players got to have a nose for the football. The players have got to follow their assignments on defense. Again, I'm not even talking about offense in this rant because the offense played great. And if anybody says that the offense didn't play great, they're smoking crack. It's ridiculous. Okay? The coaches aren't putting, at least according to this tweet I just read, the coaches aren't putting the right personnel on the field, it seems. I mean, we saw that last week in the last play of the game, one of the last plays of the game against Kansas City. You got a seventh round rookie who is a great young player. I'm not saying he's not great, but in a moment that big, it's kind of a fucking head scratcher why you've got a seventh round rookie in there on the most important play of the game against the Chiefs. So the coaches got to figure out how to put the right personnel on the field. Why aren't they putting a guy that is rated 12th of 104 in run defense grading as opposed to a guy that rated last, literally dead last, 104th out of 104? Why is the guy that's ranked 104 getting not just more reps, but all the reps compared to a guy that was rated 12th out of 104? Why, Cincinnati Bengals? Why? Jordan Battle ranked 12 out of 104. Geno Stone ranked 104th out of 104, and he's getting the majority of the reps. Geno Stone. Why, Bengals? Why are we doing that? Bengals coaches, why? Okay. And then it's obviously, I think the success and prowess of a football organization, at least in professional football, from my experience working in professional football, being around Jim Irsay, and Jim Irsay's, I believe, a great example of what an owner should be in professional football. He's there every day. He's involved in the decision-making. He outsources the personnel decisions to a guy that's not in his own fucking family, Chris Ballard, GM for the Colts. All this to say, the success of a football organization trickles down from the ownership group. And whatever vibe the ownership group is putting off, whatever precedent, whatever expectations, whatever standard, it starts with the owner. It starts with the owner and it trickles down. And so when you have these nepotistic practices in the front office of the Cincinnati Bengals, you're hiring your daughter's husband to make personnel decisions for a professional fucking football team. You're hiring a former arena football player that doesn't know how to draft to be the de facto GM of the Cincinnati Bengals. And the only reason he's de facto GM and not actual GM is because Mike Brown's ego is so fucking big that he doesn't want to let go of the title of GM. Even though he probably shows up every day and really doesn't do shit except ride around in a golf cart. If he even goes to practice. I don't even know if he goes to practice. Okay. So Cincinnati Bengals, for the sake of not just my mental health, but the entire city that rallies around you and shows up to games, regardless of if the team's putting a good product on the field or not, stop taking advantage of these hardworking people that spend their hard-earned dollars to watch your fucking football team, your miserable football team right now, at least on defense. Figure it out. I'm done.